The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, the source of all life, in whom we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
What does one do in the face of struggle and sorrow and seeming scarcity? It's a question we find ourselves still asking today, just as God's people were asking it, oh, these many years ago. One answer we see in Scripture today, though, and that we see in the world around us, at least by those of faith, is that we are called to continue showing up, continue to be present with God, with community, with one another, keeping our faith, not shrinking back and hiding from life in an effort to preserve safety and security, but instead trusting God's promise of freedom from all that binds us. I saw a comment from a Lutheran bishop this past week that said there was once a time when any time there was a major event like a mass shooting in American life, the preacher would have to scrap the sermon for the week and focus on the tragedy. Now it happens so frequently, it's like it would be the only thing we ever talk about. We find ourselves mourning again this week, offering prayers for victims and families, and we turn again to our God who offers comfort and hope and the promise of new life amid so much death. But I'm also convinced that one of the biggest factors facing our world today is fear, and that we cannot allow ourselves and our lives to be governed by it. And so we keep showing up. So our reflections will remain focused where they were intended today, with, of course, an open invitation for anyone who is struggling, anyone who needs a talk, to see me or Vicar or anyone in the congregation as we continue to support one another and lift one another up in these difficult times. Interestingly, the question of security and fear can't be totally done away with even as we look at today's readings, which consider how God's people are invited and called to live and respond again in the face of struggle and sorrow and scarcity. The woman in today's gospel and the woman in 1 Kings provide us a model for the way we think about our giving. Not because they give all that they have, but because they give what they have in a sense of wholehearted devotion to God. The widow's giving in the gospel is her response to how she understands God's goodness, even though she has known grief, even though she has little in the way of worldly possession. She believes that what she has is a gift from God, and she responds in gratitude, in faith, and in trust. She shows us that fear cannot be our guide. Fear cannot control us. It's interesting in the church that as long as we continue to talk about stewardship like it's a necessary evil, we are going to treat it as such. We lose sight of the fact that as we see in this gospel, God's message about stewardship in Scripture, how we care for, how we manage, how we use and share God's gifts, is not about law. It's not about another demand to be placed on us, but it is indeed gospel. It is good news. Good news that is meant to free us from our fears and help us embrace the abundant life God intends for us. At the same time, though, the widow of Zarephath and the widow in the gospel are victims of circumstance and injustice. At a time when a woman's livelihood depended on the presence of a man in her life to work and to provide, it was especially tragic when a woman lost her husband and faced such extreme poverty. They faced hunger. They faced the inability to feed their children. And because the widow in the temple in Mark's gospel is lifted up in contrast to those religious leaders, those who are treated with honor, those who enjoy all the luxuries of an upper middle class life, there is a degree of criticism here, an indictment of the broken systems of our society that do not adequately provide for and lift up the most vulnerable. But both women, as we said, also have a degree of agency, and they make the choice in these readings to participate in God's plan. The widow in the gospel makes the choice to give generously despite her circumstances. What many, including many of us, would think of as the wise and sensible thing to do would, of course, be to hang on to whatever they have, the small bit of meal or water or oil, the 2 coins that they have, and regard them as all the more precious because of their scarcity in that person's world. But instead, both of these women give them up. They offer them to God. And this is not just generosity. It's not just sacrifice. It is a bold expression of faith and a powerful demonstration of trust that God, who has gotten them thus far, will continue to see them through, will continue to provide for them in whatever is to come. Once again, as I said in the introduction, while we hear that the woman in the gospel gives all she had to live on, which makes her act about the material items themselves. In the Greek, it says she gave her whole life to God. And I think this implies so much more. The widow's giving is not about the money. It's not about how much of it she gave. It's not about the proportion that she gave from what she had. It is about what is represented, her gratitude and wholehearted devotion to God, whom she places first in her life. While we can view the widows in today's readings as inspiring examples of faith and generosity, I don't believe they are a one-size-fits-all blueprint for how everyone is meant to respond in faith. We don't have to take these readings as a call to sacrifice all the material goods we have in a way that puts our families or anyone in trouble or unable to get by. Jesus' words in this text, I think, point to a larger truth about our life in this world. That there are bigger considerations than just the bottom line, bigger considerations than what we consider security. We can hand over control of our lives to the fear and the constraints and the concerns of a broken and unjust world, or we can entrust our whole lives to the goodness of God, who promises meaning well beyond what we think of as security, well beyond what we can or cannot put in the treasury or the offering plate. When we put God first in our lives, other things often fall into place. And I think this is far from chance, but instead another reminder of God's faithfulness and blessing. In the midst of so much injustice and suffering and death around us, our response to God is as essential as ever. People are hurting. People need help, and people need hope. And while it may sound dramatic, we see it time and again. In matters as far removed as meaningful work, employment, housing, health care, sexual violence, immigration, welcome, inclusion, love, and protection for LGBTQ siblings, people's lives are at stake in these many, many diverse issues and considerations that we find before us. People's lives are at stake, and people need to be freed from bondage to all that binds them, bondage to fears of loneliness and pain and violence, from fears of meaninglessness and insignificance, and especially from fear of the other. People need good news. We need good news that there is a place for them and a place for all of us in this world, in this society, in this community, in our church. Good news especially that they and we are beloved by others and beloved by God. As God was with the widows at Zarephath and the temple, as God was with Elijah during the time of drought, as God was with Jesus even through suffering and death on the cross all the way to resurrection, by grace God continues to provide and lead God's people into fullness of life. By grace we are invited to respond faithfully and to respond generously so that we too may be freed from all that binds us and that we and all God's people may count ourselves blessed. As we move into more practical considerations of stewardship this year, I do encourage visitors and newcomers to the congregation to remember that this is something that happens once a year, and we are trying to think of stewardship as more than just about money, but in the many ways that we give of our time and our resources and our efforts and gifts to serve God's people through the church. Ushers, our youth are going to be passing out a couple items for you that I will explain in just a moment. We'd like you to take a look at those and keep them with you for consideration in this next week. As we turn to the widows in our readings for examples of generous giving this week, we also remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians as he writes to a congregation about the commitment that they made to help out a congregation that has fewer resources than they did. Paul points to Jesus as a model of generosity, but he also indicates that no one is being asked to give everything in the same way that Jesus did. Paul writes, "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." And again, this is not just material worldly blessings, but rich in the blessings of God, the blessings of freedom and grace and love and eternal life. "For if eagerness is there," Paul says, "the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. One who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind," Paul says, "not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." Each year at this time, as we talk about stewardship, we talk about how we care for and manage and use and share the many gifts God has given us. And because God asks us to give from what we have and not from what we don't have, the biblical standard of giving is and always has been proportional. Early in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the book of Genesis, throughout the Bible, the standard of giving is the tithe, the call of God's people to offer the first and best 10% of the gifts God has given us. This is comparable to the widow getting, quote, all that she had. This is making God the primary focus and consideration in our lives. This makes our giving not just about money, not just about talents or offerings of time and service, but about our expression of faith. When we give the first and the best, we, like the widow in today's gospel, demonstrate our trust in God to continue providing what we need to live. So, when we in the church, like at this time of year, invite one another to consider our giving and our making commitments, it's never about asking anyone to put themselves in the position of the woman in today's gospel. We invite you to consider through Scripture, though, instead, your call to respond to God's gifts and blessings. So over this next week, we'll invite you to consider prayerfully how God is calling you to give. We have these available today, but unless you need to take one, we would encourage you not to take one this week, but to fill them out next week. This is our yearly estimate of giving card. On it, we have a giving per week amount or a per month amount option. We have information if you would like to learn about electronic giving. And we also have a note that indicates a commitment to proportional giving or percentage giving. Again, this comes back to this biblical call to proportional giving. Yes, the biblical standard is a tithe, but we recognize that not all of us are there. But God does encourage us to continue growing in our faith and in our giving. And so for this reason, we also give you this step chart, an opportunity for us to take a look at where we have been giving in relation to our income. Finding yourself in that chart gives you an idea of what percentage you have been giving at, and it also encourages you to take a look at taking the next step forward if you're in a position to grow in your giving. Again, we recognize that everyone is gifted differently, and some might not have the abundant material resources to give. But we know that everyone has gifts and time to serve, and so we also offer you this time and talent sheet, which many of you saw earlier in the year in our service opportunities booklet. These are ways that you can be involved in the ministry of God's church to serve God's people and bring the hope and healing that people need. So next week, just as we have an opportunity to give our estimate of giving cards during worship, we will also have our opportunity to donate and dedicate these service opportunities to time and talent sheets as well. If anyone would like more information on anything that's on the time and talent sheet, there are service opportunities booklets in the back. They're on a yellow booklet, so please see them on your way out. Those are just a few practical matters for us to consider, but overall, in the big picture, we know that we have been blessed in this congregation. Those who have gone before us have blessed us in abundance. They've given us this beautiful building as a center of worship and a place for the community. Those who have given generous legacy gifts have offered us the opportunity to continue ministries far beyond what we could have expected. And the gifts of those who have gone before us, along with many of you here, have provided a place of community and opportunity and healing for so many around us. Healing for individuals and groups here in Pittsburgh, like counseling services and LGBTQ advocacy and 12-step groups for recovery, and Positive Spin and Bike Pittsburgh, which provide bicycles for youth and guided activities, guided outings and enriching activities. Grace, you have all seen the blessings that God has given us through this congregation. And through you and your giving, we've been able to extend a wide welcome as we love and serve our neighbors through our ministry here at the corner of Center and Morgan. Our giving to God is an ongoing expression of gratitude, as well as our faith and trust in God who has given us so much and who continues to call us forward so that we bring more and more of God's people to the table, including them and helping them to know God's love and the gifts of life and hope that God brings. And so today we give thanks for the many ways that you give your gifts to God through the ministries of St. Andrew. And we praise God for the abundance of blessings we all have received through Jesus Christ our Savior.